Title of my sermon tonight is The Spiritual Evil of Socialism. The Spiritual Evil of Socialism. I'm continuing the sermon that I did this morning where I preached on communism in light of the Bible. And this morning I went through and we looked at just a ton of scripture that just proved that the teachings of communism and socialism are just diametrically opposed to the Word of God. I mean, there's just a mountain of scripture, and I'm not going to re-preach that sermon where we went through all of these different things, just showing how bad it is and how non-biblical it is. But tonight I want to talk about the spiritual aspect. Now, how can this not be a spiritual issue? A lot of people would say, well, you know, this is just a political issue, and so let's leave this to politics. But let me ask this, how can stealing not be a moral issue? How can murder not be a moral issue? And in fact, the Bible teaches us about all areas of how to live our life. Whether that has to do with our political life, our family life, our business life. You know, the Bible teaches us how to live our lives, period, and how this world can and should operate. And so this is a spiritual issue. Okay, and plus the Word of God spends chapter after chapter explaining government and explaining how the children of Israel would have their government. And he says that the Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord's our king. The Lord is our judge. He is the supreme ruler. He is the ultimate governor. And so, of course, these things are spiritual issues. Now, because of the fact that, as I demonstrated this morning, if you weren't here this morning, I'd encourage you to get that sermon online and listen to it. But if you remember this morning, I went through and showed all these Bible verses that are so clear. Because the Bible is so clear on this issue, the proponents of this ideology are never Bible-believing Christians. Right. It's never born-again, Bible-believing Christians that are promoting socialism or communism. It's typically people that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, this ideology was started and first disseminated and propagated by people who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to demonstrate that in my first point. So go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number. Actually, you're already there in 1 John 2. I'll leave you there. We can talk about that first. But we have to understand that this communist socialist ideology comes from the devil, and specifically it comes from people who hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who would promote a socialistic ideology, but let me tell you something, they're just claiming to be Christians. There are plenty of people who just claim the name of Christ in order to make a mockery of our faith. Right. Like this filthy sodomite who's running for president trying to claim that he's a Christian. When he's a dirty sodomite. That's ridiculous. He's just making a mockery of Jesus Christ. Make a mockery of you. He's trying to make an idiot out of you to actually think that that's what a Christian is. Okay. And so, of course, people will try to claim the name of Christ, wolves in sheep's clothing. But people who actually believe the Bible and read the Bible to know what it says, they don't believe in this socialist, communist junk. Every page of the Bible is against it. But there are people, of course, who just want to pick and choose Bible verses to support their wickedness by taking things out of context. And they do that with every doctrine, just because the Bible is such a long book that if you want to teach lies and just take a sentence here and a phrase here, you can do that. But no serious student of the Bible walks away promoting socialism. So because of that, it's an ideology whose proponents are not Bible-believing Christians. So who was originally behind the socialist propaganda? Who wrote the Communist Manifesto? You know, who were the people who brought this ideology into execution, no pun intended, in the 20th century starting in 1917? And I'm going to prove to you that it was the Jews. Okay, now, don't just bristle at that. Let me prove that to you. But before I do, let me show you, first of all, from Scripture, that the Jews are ones who hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look, if you would, at 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. It says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Now, let me stop right there and make sure that you understand what the word Christ means. You see, we've grown up hearing the word Christ so many times that to us, it has sort of just become the surname of Jesus. Like Jesus Christ, like it's his last name, right? But in reality, the word Christ has meaning. It actually means Messiah, right? Sometimes you'll hear people speaking other languages like Hebrew or Arabic or Urdu or something, and you'll hear them say, Isa Messiah, right? As Jesus Christ, Isa Messiah. So they'll say Messiah, okay? Because that's actually what Christ means. Now, you can find that right in your King James Bible, because when you're reading the King James Bible, it says, We found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So two times in the Gospel of John, it just flat out says, Christ is interpreted as Messiah. That's what it means. So this is just the Hebrew word, Mashiach, and the Greek word, Christ, right? But it's the same meaning. So you could read this as, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Messiah? And you would have the exact same meaning. That's what's being said here. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the Christ? Now, in order to deny that Jesus is the Messiah, you have to believe that there is a Messiah and that it's not Jesus. If you're an atheist, you're not denying that Jesus is the Messiah. You don't even believe in the Messiah. You don't even think there is a Messiah. It's the Jews who believe there's a Messiah, but it's not Jesus. That's why he goes on to say, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, verse 23, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You see, a lot of people think, well, the Jews, they don't believe in the Son of God, but, you know, they got God the Father. Wrong. It's a package deal. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And the Bible says, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So Judaism is inherently the spirit of Antichrist, which should come into the world, that the Bible prophesied would come into the world. That's why the Bible said even now already it's in the world, because it was already even around in the first century A.D. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Of course, Jesus Christ preaching in John chapter 8 to the unbelieving Jews, to the Pharisees, he says to them in John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. They said, no, 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 Abraham's our father. He said, nope, you're of your father the devil. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil is the father of lies. And Jesus said to the Christ-rejecting Jews, you are of your father the devil. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. What could be clearer than these verses? These verses are so clear. The Bible says the Jews, see that at the end of verse 14? What are the last two words of verse 14? The Jews. They what? They killed the Lord Jesus. They persecuted us. They please not God. They're contrary to all men. They clash with everyone. And it says that they forbid us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. You say, no, 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 there's a special blessing upon the Jews. God's blessing is on the Jews. Really? Because that's not what the Bible says. It's not what the New Testament says. There was a time when they were blessed in the Old Testament. When they followed God, they were blessed. But in the New Testament, after rejecting Jesus, nothing could be clearer than these scriptures right here that say the wrath is come upon them. They killed Jesus. They rejected the prophets. They persecute us. God's wrath is on them. Okay, so get that straight, and then this won't be a big surprise to you. Surprise! The Communist Manifesto was written by a Jew. All right, these people that purported, and I'm going to give you the facts here. So Karl Marx, you go to the Wikipedia page for Karl Marx, and they say he was a German philosopher. And they don't make any mention of the fact that his real name that he's born with is Mordecai Levi. They leave that out. Moses Mordecai Levi doesn't come up on this page. It's just Karl Marx the German, right? But if you click on the name of his dad, then it says Heinrich Marx was born with the name Herschel Levi, the son of Marx Levi Mordecai and Eva Lwow. Heinrich Marx's father was the rabbi of Trier, a role which his older brother would later assume. Then it says that Marx was ethnically Jewish. His maternal, and listen, Karl Marx's maternal grandfather was a Dutch rabbi, while his paternal line had supplied Trier's rabbi since 1723, a role taken by his grandfather, Meyer Halevi Marx. So basically, Karl Marx's grandpa on his mom's side is a rabbi, and on his dad's side, he came from over 100 years of rabbis. Just rabbi begat rabbi begat rabbi begat rabbi for at least 100 years, going back to the early 1700s. And his uncle and his grandfather are rabbis and so forth. So this is, he's coming from rabbi, not even just Jewish, but just Jewish rabbis on both sides. So it shouldn't surprise us that Karl Marx is anti-Jesus Christ, anti-God, anti-religion, anti-Bible, because that's what he's coming from, this Christ-rejecting, Christ-hating background. Okay. Now, President Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, you know that wild-eyed conspiracy theorist, the president of Russia? Here's what he said on June 13th of 2013. He said 80 to 85% of the first Soviet government was Jewish. That's what the president of Russia said. He visited Jerusalem and he made that statement that 80% of the first Soviet government was Jewish, and it was reported in every single Jewish newspaper. You can look it up, Haaretz and all the other newspapers in Israel. They all reported this because they were all there taking notes, and there are plenty of witnesses to him saying that. Also, the historian Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who is one of the greatest authors of the 20th century, he wrote probably the greatest work of nonfiction of the 20th century, The Gulag Archipelago, which I believe sold like over 100 million copies. Hugely important book. One of the books that brought down the Soviet Union in many ways. Okay, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote another book at the end of his life called 200 Years Together about the relationship between Russia and the Jews. Isn't it interesting that this book has still not been published into English? Even though this is one of the greatest authors of the 20th century, who wrote a book that sold just tens and tens of millions of copies. Even his book, One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich, was something that was required reading in my high school. It's again, a book that has sold millions, tens of millions of copies. And yet, his book, 200 Years Together, has never been translated into English. I have a copy of it in my office in German, 200 Jahre zusammen. And so, let me give you some quotes from the book, all right? Out of 22 ministers in the first Soviet government, this is coming from Solzhenitsyn, a guy who spent his life studying these things and writing about these things to great critical acclaim. Out of 22 ministers in the first Soviet government, three were Russian, one Georgian, one Armenian, and 17 Jews. That's what Solzhenitsyn said, which is pretty similar to what Putin said. Historian Alfred Jensen said 75% of the leading Bolsheviks were of Jewish origin. All right, so this is no secret that in the early days of the Bolshevik Revolution, folks, that's when communism actually was put into execution in 1917. Before that, it was just a theory going back to the Communist Manifesto in the mid-1800s, but when it actually was put into practice, and again, written by the Jew, Karl Marx, and then when it's put into practice by Jews in the Soviet Union with the Bolshevik Revolution. So what's interesting, though, is there's a Wikipedia article on Jewish Bolshevism, talking about how it's not a thing. Okay. Jewish Bolshevism, also Judeo-Bolshevism, is an anti-communist and anti-Semitic canard which alleges that the Jews were the originators of the Russian Revolution in 1917 and they held primary power among the Bolsheviks who led the revolution. Similarly, the conspiracy theory of Jewish communism alleges that Jews have dominated the communist movements in the world. So they're like debunking this in this article, right? Here's what they say. Well, by December 1917, only 5 of the 21 members of the Communist Central Committee were Jews. The Commissar for Foreign Affairs, the President of the Supreme Soviet, the Deputy Chairman of the Council of People's Commissars, the President of Petrograd Soviet, and the Deputy Director of the Cheka, the secret police. So they're basically trying to debunk people like Solzhenitsyn, Vladimir Putin, and others, saying, oh, no, that's not really true. But, you know, by December 1917, it was only 5 out of the 21 top guys. Well, here's what's funny about that, is that 5 out of 21 is still a lot when you consider that the Jews are less than 2% of the population. And 5 out of, and the president of the Supreme Soviet is a Jew. You know, Leon Trotsky was a Jew. That's not even his real name. And by the way, the reason for the discrepancy here, why Solzhenitsyn is saying, hey, you know, the majority by far were Jews. Why is Putin saying that? Why is Alfred Jensen saying that? I'll tell you why. It's because of the fact that these people, they change their name to hide the fact that they're a Jew. They're what's called a crypto-Jew. So Leon Trotsky's name was not really Leon Trotsky, by the way. Okay? His name was actually Leo, Davidovich Bronstein or something like that. They all have different names. All of the communist revolutionaries in those, they're all using fake names. They're all changing their name, just like Karl Marx and his dad changed their name and so forth. So these people are changing their name to hide that. And isn't it interesting? Here's a little coincidence that the self-proclaimed socialist candidate in this election, you're not going to believe it. He's Jewish. What a shock, right? So the guy who in America right now is running for president and is self-proclaimed, I'm a socialist, is Jewish. He puts his religion as Jewish, his background as Jewish. So what a shock. Let me pick myself up off the floor. Now, if you would, flip over to Hebrews chapter 13. So number one, so again, tonight the sermon is called The Spiritual Evil of Socialism. The first point I want to make is that, number one, this ideology has come from people who hate the Lord Jesus Christ. People who reject and hate Jesus have been the architects of this ideology. Okay, number one. But number two, this ideology is inherently anti-marriage and anti-family. Now, most of the quotes that I read to you this morning from the Communist Manifesto had to do with the political ideas, the financial ideas. I didn't even get into the stuff about the family and marriage, and that's what I'm going to get into right now. But first, what does the Bible say? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The Bible is very clear about what marriage is, that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh, and that fornication and adultery are something that he's going to come down on and judge. These are sins, okay? And only marriage, that is the only right way in God's sight for that union between man and woman to take place, right? One man, one woman being married till death do us part. That's what God teaches in the Bible. Listen to what the Communist Manifesto says. Abolition of the family. Even the most radical flare up at this infamous proposal of the communists. On what foundation is the present family, the bourgeois family, based? On capital, on private gain. In its completely developed form, this family exists only among the bourgeoisie. But this state of things finds its complement in the practical absence of the family among the proletarians and in public prostitution. The bourgeois family will vanish as a matter of course when its complement vanishes, and both will vanish with the vanishing of capital. So what's this ridiculous book saying? And like I said, I read the whole thing yesterday afternoon, the Communist Manifesto. It's the most idiotic thing that I've ever read. It doesn't even make any sense. Do you hear what he's saying? He's basically saying, well, the communists are talking about getting rid of the family, but, you know, I mean, the only people who really have families are the bourgeoisie. I mean, the proletariat, the working man, he doesn't really have a family anyway. It's like, excuse me? What? So poor wage earners don't have families? What is he talking about?
Well, you know, the family only exists in the bourgeois. It's all based on capitalism. The family is just based on capitalism. It's all just based on making money.
What? I mean, some of this stuff is so stupid. It's like you don't even know how to respond to that. What are you talking about?
But you communists would introduce community of women, screams the bourgeoisie in chorus.
Community of women meaning sharing women. Not being married. Not one man having his wife and let us, you know, I'm going to keep me only unto you so long as we both shall live. But here's their response to that by saying, hey, you guys want to have women communally. The communists have no need to introduce community of women. It's already existed almost from time immemorial.
Our bourgeois, not content with having wives and daughters of the proletarians at their disposal, not to speak of common prostitutes, take the greatest pleasure in seducing each other's wives.
So according to him, all of the middle class people, all the people who own businesses and own things, they're just all just womanizing with proletariat wives, daughters, and then, but their favorite thing is to seduce each other's wives. That's just all middle class people, right? What is this the craziest thing you've ever heard? This, and the whole book is this stupidity like this. And folks, this is being read and studied in college campuses right now. The Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx. I mean, this is being studied in economics classes. This is being studied as this brilliant thinker, this German philosopher. Oh, so wonderful. Who had to read this in school or in college at some point? You studied this. See, hands all over the building, people who studied this in school. And like I said, the YouTube video where there's an audiobook is just filled with hundreds of comments just praising it. What a great book it is. It's so smart. It's so interesting. This is nonsense. Listen to this. Bourgeois marriage. Bourgeois means the middle classes and upper classes that own businesses. They own any kind of wealth or property. The proletariat being just the wage earner who's kind of living paycheck to paycheck, just getting paid by the hour. Bourgeois marriage is in reality a system of wives in common. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, bourgeois marriage, I mean, everybody's just swapping wives anyway, so what's the big deal? That's ridiculous. That's nonsense. That's not what the majority of people are doing. The majority of people are not committing adultery. Even in 2020 America, the majority of people are not wife swapping, okay? Let alone back then. There's probably even less of it going on in the mid-1800s when this is being written. This guy is just insane.
Bourgeois marriage is in reality a system of wives in common, and thus, at the most, what the communists might possibly be reproached with is that they desire to introduce, in substitution for a hypocritically concealed, an openly legalized community of women.
So here's what he's basically saying. Well, why are you guys mad at the communists for wanting to share wives? You guys are already doing it behind your wife's back. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to make it open and legal. We're just not hypocrites about it. Yeah, we want to swap wives around. Yeah, we want all women to be shared communally. Yeah, let's do it. Folks, and yet people think this is compatible with Christianity? This garbage? It is at its core anti-marriage, anti-family garbage, okay? And this is why all of the socialists of our day, what do they also promote? Isn't it interesting how they promote sodomy? How they promote abortion, fornication, adultery, birth control, sex education in the public schools for little kids, anything except what God lays out in the scripture as what the family is supposed to be. They hate God's institution, they hate the family, and they want to destroy it. And they're working hard right now to destroy and desecrate and defile the institution of marriage so that less people are getting married than ever. That's their goal. That's what they're doing. So number one, we said that this philosophy of communism, socialism, was created by people who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And it's still to this day pushed by people who hate the Word of God, they hate the Lord. Number two, it is inherently anti-marriage and anti-family. But number three, it is anti-homeschooling. It is against homeschooling. Here's a quote from the Communist Manifesto. Replace home education with social education. And remember, one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto was all children get free education in public schools. Replace home education with social education. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, the Bible teaches, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And nowhere does the Bible ever teach that we should deliver our children over to a heathen institution to be educated by an atheistic school system. The public school system is not a Christian institution. They're not teaching the Bible or a biblical philosophy. They are teaching an atheistic or an agnostic worldview. I think you're going to have a pretty hard time arguing that that's what they're teaching down there. And you know, the Bible prophesied in Matthew 24 that in the last days, it says that the children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Might be Matthew chapter 10, but it's in there, friend. It's in there somewhere. You know, Jesus Christ talked about in the last days that the children would rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Well, you know, if you've ever read any books about communism, you know that they did that in communism. If you read The Bridge at Andau by James Michener, which is a book that I would highly recommend, or if you read The Gulag Archipelago, of course you'd know that there were children who rose up against their parents in communism, ratted on their parents, and got their parents sent off to die in some concentration camp or whatever. But let me tell you something. How in the world could you get a child to rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death? Because you know what that would have to mean? That would have to mean that that child was taught an ideology completely different than what their parents believe. Right? I mean, think about it. Like, because remember, we're not talking about in the context of, you know, turning them over to the KGB or something. When in Matthew chapter 10, what's Jesus talking about? He's talking about in the end times, he's talking about the Antichrist and persecution, tribulation, right? And he says the children will rise up against their parents, talking about Christian parents, and causing them to be put to death. That's the actual context. Okay, so wouldn't that mean that the children are being raised with a non-Christian ideology? And in fact, it's so non-Christian that they would want their parents to be killed for being Christian? Think about the disconnect. Talk about a generation gap. Can you imagine wanting your parents to be killed for being a Christian? I mean, it's hard to believe, but it becomes a lot easier to believe when you think about that kid spending 7 hours a day in a Christ-rejecting institution, and then they're being raised with a completely different ideology than their parents. Look, I'm not an atheist. I'm not an agnostic. So why would I want my children to be raised by an atheistic, agnostic school system? It doesn't make any sense. I want my children to grow up and be Christians. So I want, and you say, well, you know, we're going to teach them about Christ at home. Right, but don't you think they're going to get influenced being in the public school system all day, day after day? That's not God's perfect will, okay, to put them there. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The Bible tells parents they need to teach their children the word of God. They need to train up the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. The Bible says in Proverbs, Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Cease to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. And you know what? That's what's being taught down in the public school system. There's an indoctrination going on down there so that they'll be tolerant towards sodomites, so that they will be looking at science as being contrary to the Bible, and they're being taught evolution. Look, I went to public school for a few years. I spent most of my upbringing in Christian school, but I went to public school for a few years. I remember when I was in sixth grade, my science teacher saying, I don't care if you're a Christian, I don't care if you're a Muslim, I don't care if you're a Jew, I don't care if you're religious, I don't care if you're not religious. He said, you must believe in evolution, and if you don't believe in it, you're an idiot. That is, when I was 11 years old, I sat in a classroom and the teacher got up in the public school system and said, if you don't believe in evolution, you are a complete idiot. Even if you're a Christian, you must believe in evolution. And let me tell you something, I don't believe in evolution. Amen. And I never will. It's garbage. It's a lie. It didn't happen. God created man in his own image. Man is not some glorified monkey. Okay? Animals bring forth after their own kind. Evolution does not exist. It's a fraud. Cats are never going to be dogs, and dogs are never going to be cats. Now, you can have all different kinds of dogs and all different kinds of cats, and you can have everything from a little domestic cat all the way to a tiger or a lion, but you know what? A cat is still a cat. It's still the same kind of animal. And a dog is always going to be a dog. Okay, this idea of animals evolving into a completely different kind of animal and birds evolving into mammals and reptiles evolving, it's nonsense. It can't happen, okay? And so the public school system is there to indoctrinate everything that we don't believe in. You say, well, you know, but at least they're learning the basics of reading and writing. You know, we need to teach that stuff to our children ourselves. There's nothing wrong with homeschooling, all right? And that's the ideal, is homeschooling. That's the best way for your children to be brought up, is to homeschool them. And you know what? The Communist Manifesto specifically brings up, we need to replace home education with social education. But number four, not only was it dreamed up by people who hate the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is it anti-marriage and anti-family, not only is it anti-homeschooling, which is another attack on the family and children raising their kids the way that they want to raise them, but number four, it is anti-God and anti-Christian. Now, I was going to read for you a bunch of paragraphs from the Communist Manifesto about how they're against all religion, but it was so complicated and convoluted. I'm just going to spare your eardrums of me having to read it and explain it because it's just not very well written. Let me just give you a quote from Lenin, all right, which was the main character of the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, the most important figure for the communists. Vladimir Lenin said, "Atheism is a natural and inseparable part of Marxism, of the theory and practice of scientific socialism. Our program necessarily includes the propaganda of atheism." And obviously we know historically that Christians have been heavily persecuted under communism, haven't they? There's no mystery about that. But let me tell you something. The left-wing socialists of our day are chomping at the bit to persecute us right now. They would love to shut us down right now. If they could get away with it, they would do it. They would love to destroy us. And they're going to use hate speech legislation to do it, to try to shut us up and shut us down. Go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. They would love to see us fined or even put in jail just for preaching the word of God, just for exercising our religion, just for getting out and winning souls to Christ and knocking doors, just for getting up and preaching what the Bible says on all subjects. They would love to see us fined, jailed, shut down. It's already happening in other parts of the world, and they're chomping at the bit to do us here. The only thing protecting us is, of course, God himself. But humanly speaking, the thing that's protecting us is the First Amendment. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Thank God that we have these protections in the Constitution to at least keep us from losing those freedoms. But why do they hate us? Well, why did they hate Jesus? Look at John chapter 7, verse 6. "Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." So why did they hate Jesus? They hated him because he testified that their works were evil. And because Christianity flies in the face of Marxism, it goes in the face of socialism, communism. And by the way, these are all the same thing. I already covered that and I proved that this morning, that communism and socialism are pretty much the same thing. Socialism is just a watered down, it's basically just communism light is what it is. But you don't think that the socialists of our day have read and loved and shed a tear over the Communist Manifesto? I mean, do you think that for one second? You don't think that Bernie Sanders, who, by the way, I just saw this afternoon because I was doing some research on things for this sermon, I saw how he's like sitting at this table that's just covered in beverages. And it must, the way people were acting, it must have been all booze. But he's just sitting at a table in Moscow because he went on his honeymoon in Moscow in the Soviet Union. This is the guy that all the whores up in Nevada just voted for yesterday, right? Because they just had some kind of a, I don't even follow it. It was a caucus or primary or whatever it is in Nevada, right? And Sanders just won the state up there because all the prostitutes up in Nevada, I guess they love communism, okay? So, am I wrong about the whores up there? Isn't that the state that's known for legalized gambling, legalized prostitution, strippers and hookers and degenerates of all types, right? So they voted for Sanders, who went on his honeymoon in the Soviet Union in Moscow, okay? And there's a video of him there, and he's sitting at a table in his underwear. No shirt or anything. He's just like in his underwear, literally, like in his briefs, sitting at this table that's just covered in booze, and they're all like singing and partying. And they're just singing anthems and praising communists. Okay? And this is like one of the top guys right now in this election, one of the front runners. What does that say about our country? It says that our country's stupid. It says that our country doesn't love Christ. It says that our country is getting away from the Bible. And you know what? That's why we need some preachers to get up and explain these things from the Bible, like I did this morning, so that we can see, like, okay, is this compatible with the Bible or not? Is this ideology biblical or not? Because I guarantee you that some of the bozos that are voting for this guy, they actually believe that they're doing the right thing as a Christian. Voting for this guy, okay? And so that just goes to show you the state of things in our country, that this open commie could even have that much support. And you know who's just right in the close second? Booty faggot. Right? Yeah. Say, well, I don't appreciate you saying that. Well, I don't appreciate you being such a wimp. Yeah. I don't appreciate you being so lame. I don't appreciate you letting the country go down the toilet and leaving me up here all by myself to tell the truth about these things. Amen. I don't appreciate you, you little queer bait. Yep. Right. I'm offended by the word faggot. Well, you know what? Then you probably have queer tendencies. Get away from me and my kids. Yep. Folks, somebody's got to get up and lay it out. Right. We're living in the Twilight Zone. Yep. It's crazy. The Soviet communist guy who loves Moscow and Russia when it was the Soviet Union? Praising communist dictators? Praising the revolution in Cuba? How he was so excited when it happened? He was so excited for Fidel Castro? Okay, that's who we've got now. And then and he's just neck and neck with an open faggot. Okay? And then you got the Republican guy, Trump, who's saying, "Oh, I think it's terrific that we have an open sodomite in the race. I just think it's absolutely terrific. I think it's great. You see anything wrong with it? No, I don't see anything wrong with it at all. I think it should just be considered totally normal." Folks, I'm telling you, you say, "Well, are you trying to get us to vote a certain way?" Folks, voting's not the answer. Right. Voting only encourages these degenerate weirdos. Okay, you know what we need is we need the word of God to thunder forth from the pulpits of America is what we need. We need some preachers with some hair on their legs to get up and preach what the Bible actually says and rip some face. Because I guarantee you, we wouldn't have the candidates we have. We wouldn't have the president that we would have. We wouldn't have the government system that we have right now. If preachers had been doing their job for the last 30, 40 years, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. The answer is not in the White House, it's in the church house. Amen. Okay? Look, if we were out winning souls like we should, winning people to Christ, then they'd have the Holy Spirit living inside them. That's going to change their outlook. That's going to change their view of the world, wouldn't it? And you know what? If we had preachers getting up and teaching the whole counsel of God, teaching everything that the Bible says, we wouldn't have people being sucked in to these ridiculous teachings and ideologies of socialism or sodomites or whatever else we see today. People need preaching, and it's a spiritual problem, not a political problem. The political problem is just it's just a symptom. It's not the root of the problem. You know, we're constantly brainwashed every 4 years, like, well, if we can just get this person in office, everything's going to be great. If we can just get this guy in office, or, hey, he's going to turn the economy around. Or, you know what? That life's not about the economy. And look, I want the economy to be good as much as the next guy. But you know what? At the end of the day, though, if we spiritually go down the tubes, it doesn't matter how good the economy is right now. If we spiritually go down the tubes, in the long run, God's going to take it all away from us. God's not going to bless it. We've got to get people saved. We've got to preach the Bible. And today we have preachers who are afraid to even get up and rip on the sodomites because they're like, well, you know, because everybody's got one that's their uncle now or something, or their cousin. Everybody's got one in the family. Well, you know, I don't care if you have one in the family. It doesn't prevent them from being a disgusting piece of trash. Okay, that's what the Bible actually says, all right? And that's a whole nother sermon, and I've proved that in many sermons. If not, just close your eyes and pick one from our website and listen to it, and I'll throw more Bible at you than you can even handle on that subject if you want to pick one, all right? Just type in sodomite into the search engine, Pastor Anderson, and just pick one at random, and you'll get the message, okay? But folks, they hate Jesus. We're in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual battle. This ideology is anti-God and anti-Christian. If these type of people ever get into office and they can ever get the laws that they want to get, they will persecute us. They will come after us with a vengeance. And you know what I say? Bring it on. I'm not going to stop. Bring it on. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. But do not be deceived for one moment into thinking that socialism is anything other than a God-hating, Christ-rejecting, anti-family ideology that is against everything that is moral and right. And you know what? People that are on the left wing in this country are degenerates.
Yeah. Right.
Period. They're degenerates.
Yep.
Okay? It's not, well, they just have a different viewpoint. Really? A viewpoint that believes in murdering babies?
Right.
Oh, really? They just have a different viewpoint that just takes one of the sins that's the most condemned, disgusting thing in the Bible and exalts it and is proud of it and marches it down the street? That's a little different. Folks, the religious left? Are you serious? It's bizarre, friend. You know, and you have preachers getting up and saying, well, you know, the Bible's compatible with socialism. It's not, you know, it doesn't really teach capitalism or socialism. It's just, you know, it could go with both. It could work with socialism. It could work with communism. Billy Graham. It's like, no, that's not true. But these guys just say what it is to be popular. All right. So we need to study to show ourselves approved and stick with the Word of God, and don't get sucked into this. And you know what? Just take it to the bank. If you're sending your kids to the public school system, they're going to be taught a socialist ideology. They're going to be taught a Marxist ideology. They're going to be taught an atheistic or an agnostic ideology. Sometimes you'll hear the term cultural Marxism. Who's heard that term? So that's what they're going to be taught. And you know what? If your kids are in the public school, I'm not mad at you if your kids are in the public school, but I'm just warning you, this is the stuff that they're being taught and exposed to. So you know what? If I had kids in the public school system, man, I'd be making extra sure to get them under the preaching of God's word. I'd be getting them in church as much as I can, get them to as many preaching conferences as I can, and I'd be sitting and reading the Bible with them and making sure that they know the truth to try to counteract all that stuff. But like I said, I believe that they're better off being homeschooled. You know, we homeschool all of our children. That's what we're going to continue to do. I believe that that's what God teaches in the Bible. But if your kids are in public school, just take it to the bank. They're being taught all the wrong things, and you need to work really hard to make sure that they're getting the truth to counteract. And the good news is the truth is so much more powerful than lies. You know, the truth can cut through that garbage, and there still is hope to raise your kids right, even in this generation, even in this society. But we've got to take a stand on the Word of God and not let the brainwashing get through to us. We need to make sure that we spend more time reading the Bible than we do listening to all the world's junk. You know, we don't want to spend like 3 hours a day listening to the worldly stuff, and then it's like 10 minutes in the Bible. You know, we need to make sure we had a lot of spiritual input coming in to give us a sanity check and a reality check so that we don't get sucked into these ideologies, because our country is changing fast. I mean, would you have thought, those of you who are older, would you have thought 10 or 20 years ago that these kind of candidates would be in the front? An open socialist who loves to hang out in the Soviet Union back in the day, and a homo? And don't even get me started on creepy Uncle Joe. All right. You never would have even imagined that, right? It's mind-blowing. It's mind-boggling. What are things going to be like 10 years from now? What are things going to be like 20 years from now? Folks, we better sharpen the sword. We better study. We better be ready. We better not get slack, or we're going to get swept away. Our kids are going to be swept away in this changing society that we live in. We better be found on the rock. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, and we thank you for our church. And Lord, I know that sometimes people get offended when I get up and tell the truth, but Lord, I just pray that every single person that's here would just have a tender heart to what the Word of God actually says and not just be so brainwashed with the world's ideology. Instead of being offended by sodomites, they're offended by the guy who calls it out. Or instead of being offended by socialism taking over our country, they'd be offended, you know, being offended by the guy who points it out. Lord, help us rather to stand with the preachers that tell it like it is and stand against this evil and adulterous generation, Lord, and shine the light of your word and not be ashamed of you or of your words in this crooked generation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.